Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing Biosphere 2. Here's what you need to know.
It's one of the most exciting scientific experiments of this century. It's going to yield a great deal about our Earth here, and it has applications beyond our own globe.
We have shown that biospheres, synthetic biospheres, can be used as laboratories for environmental and ecological studies and can support human beings for space applications.
In 1984, a privately funded company announced its plan to build Biosphere 2, an airtight structure designed to replicate Earth's ecosystems and supply a group of humans with the air, water, and food they needed to survive. In case you're wondering, Biosphere 1 was considered to be the Earth itself. Biosphere 2's origin story begins with John P. Allen, a Renaissance man who founded a performance group called the Theater of All Possibilities in the late 60s. The group's mission was to change the world, and in 1969, that led them to New Mexico, where they founded Synergia Ranch. One of their many eclectic endeavors was to transform the ranch into a self-sufficient homestead, which included a geodesic dome. Later projects included the founding of an art gallery and building a ship from scratch, which they used to sail around the world, researching Earth's ecosystems. Along the way, the group gained the support of a wealthy Texan named Ed Bass, and it was Bass who founded the joint venture with Allen called Space Biosphere Ventures, the company that would bring the groundbreaking scientific experiment to life. The main goals of Biosphere 2 were to provide education, develop eco-technology, and learn more about the sphere's eco-lab. They also hoped to help NASA in researching life support systems for long-term space missions. Biosphere 2 would be totally self-sufficient once sealed off and house 3,800 species of plants and animals in addition to humans. construction of the biodome lasted from 1987 to 1991 in the Arizona desert. On September 26, 1991, a crew of 8 people entered the biodome for their first mission. They spent most of their days farming, researching, doing maintenance, and cooking. Only 2 weeks after entering the dome, a biospherian named Jane Pointer cut off the tip of her finger. She was initially treated by the resident surgeon, but later released from the biosphere for further treatment. Upon re-entry, it was discovered that Pointer had brought a duffel bag full of supplies with her, including computer parts and camera film. Later, they learned that other staffers were being given supplies from outside the enclosed system. Troubles mounted as they struggled to maintain food supply and low oxygen levels made it hard to breathe. There was also a significant amount of tension building among the crew, which fractured the leadership and contributed to low morale. By November of 1992, the hungry biospherians had resorted to eating seed stocks that had been grown outside of the biosphere. The first mission ended on September 26, 1993. Completing its 2-year goal, but not without controversy, after reports of outside supplies and supplemental oxygen being pumped into the biodome soured public, as well as expert opinion of the project, among other unanticipated problems. A second mission began in March of 1994. All seemed to be going according to plan until Bass abruptly fired Allen and his team. They were replaced by Steve Bannon. Yes, the Steve Bannon, who at the time was a Beverly Hills investment banker. Biosphere 2 was hemorrhaging money, and Bannon couldn't save it in the end. The crew of the second mission tried to keep the experiment running amidst several lawsuits and quiet settlements, but the mission was shut down on September 6, only 6 months after it started. Space Biospheres Ventures was dissolved, and a deal was made with Columbia University to take over operations of Biosphere 2, which was never used for another closed system experiment again. Fun facts, aka death stats. Biosphere 2 is located in Oracle, Arizona, nearly 4,000 feet above sea level. It took 4 years and nearly $200 million to build Biosphere 2, which includes 7 biome areas, a 20,000-square-foot rainforest, a 9,100-square-foot ocean with a coral reef, a 4,800-square-foot mangrove wetland, a 14,000-square-foot savanna grassland, a 15,000-square-foot fog desert, and 2 anthropogenic biomes, one 27,000-square-foot agricultural system, and a human habitat with living spaces, labs, and workshops. Biosphere 2 was only used twice for its original purpose as a closed system experiment. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, everyone.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is Ethan Edenberg, musician, comedian, and host of The Good, The Bad, and The Science. Hi, Ethan.
Hey there.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Delighted.
No, we are.
No.
No.
Not going to fight about this, guys.
Oh my
God. Sorry.
We've already started. This is so controversial.
We're in the biosphere of this podcast and we need to get along.
Ethan, could you start off by giving our listeners a little recap of The Good, The Bad, and The Science?
Sure. The Good, The Bad, and The Science is a podcast where we break down the science of television and movies with a comedian and a scientist. So that's pretty much the thing. You know, it's just a launching pad to basically take a deep dive into whatever the science of that episode is. So it's like if we're doing like a Star Wars movie, we'll have like a NASA physicist on and I'll just ask them about, you know, their life and if things are actually accurate or plausible in Star Wars. And then a comedian joins me just to keep things really fun.
Oh, I mean, what a great concept. We've dabbled a little bit in that when we've covered Jaws and when we've covered Jurassic Park. Nice. And, you know, it's just so nice to talk to smart people.
Oh, the best. I mean, it's a highway. It's a straight shot into making you feel like a moron. That's for sure, yeah. Because I get to experience that every week. But it is nice to know that maybe some of this I am absorbing and gaining some sort of knowledge as well.
That's a hopeful thought.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't feel that way personally with any of these things, but it's nice to know there are people out there with that hope.
Yeah. Optimistic.
Yes.
So, Ethan, we like to ask all of our guests who come on the show, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something is keeping you up at night?
I mean, I got to say, I'm a pretty balanced guy. I try not to get worked up about too much because it's so easy to do so.
You're telling me. Hell yeah.
Yeah. But I got to say, this whole anti-vax attitude, I really can't get over it. Every time it comes up, it's like equally frustrating. And, you know, as many of you probably, I have people in my life that still don't have it and have their own reasonings for it, you know. And again, I'm talking to scientists every week. So it's like I'm hearing it straight from their mouths and not just, you know, the news and social media and stuff. So it's really tough to have like a normal conversation without, you know, talking about the elephant in the room a little bit. Like trying to ignore that for me is not getting any easier. I don't know if it ever will.
I like that you explained as a capital A, like attitude. It's an anti-vax attitude that these people have.
So, I mean,
like knock off that attitude.
They're taking a stance on it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to combat it.
Ethan, they have to do their own research.
Right,
still
of course.
You know?
Yeah, no, of course. And even before and during and after, it seems like they have their mind made up, regardless what the research is.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I guess that's something that alarms me for sure. I mean, just speaking as like, I try to remain somewhat optimistic about the human race, but every year of my life, I think that trickles down a little bit more, and I get a little bit more concerned as like, how are we? The fact that we're even all alive today is already such a miracle, but now seeing all of this in real time, like all the people that lived in America that lived through Trump for 4 years and then still voted for him. And then now it's all basically the same amount of people, coincidence or not, that don't want to get the vaccine. It's like, how are we going to survive the next 100 years? I don't know.
I mean, this is just the perfect segue. Speaking of the survival of the human race, I think we should dive in to speaking about who's to blame for Biosphere 2.
Yes.
And before we even start, did you guys like the transition? I'm actually really well known for my terrible transition, so I really feel like that was a good one.
That was a good segue, and Rebecca, she always checks in with us to see how the segue was, and this one was good. I think we should just...
I felt very taken care of, so I'm not even worried about it. I think you should feel really strong about that.
Yep. I would say it was like a 9.2 segue. I mean, I literally was hearing like a choom in my head as you were talking. That's the only thing that would have made it a 10.0 is if you actually had that as well.
We'll add it in post.
Perfect. Sound effect.
Oh, so I'll retake that. That was a 10.0 segue.
10.0.
Thanks for that.
Holy crap.
So I just feel like to get us in the mood, I want to talk about the things that were actually inside this Biosphere 2. Now, okay, wait. Rewind. Did you guys even hear about Biosphere 2?
No.
Growing
zero.
Up. Oh, okay.
I remember vaguely like news snippets and stuff like that, like when I was younger. I do vaguely remember Biosphere 2. And then of course I remember the movie
Biodome.
That's
I never
the
watched
only thing
that
I knew.
Movie. Yeah, so. I'm assuming it's inspired by Biosphere 2. I mean, what a crazy experiment. Inside this biosphere, just to give you an example of what is inside, is 850 square miles of coral reef, a 450 square mile mangrove marsh, a 1,900 square mile Amazonian rainforest, 1,300 square miles.
You're saying square miles. It's square feet.
Square miles. It says here square miles.
Hang on.
That's so big.
That can't be.
And also, can I ask this off the bat? How do you have an Amazonian rainforest somewhere else? Is that technically allowed?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean...
With signs. You put up signs that say this is Amazonian.
Beware. Beware.
Okay.
It's like lowercase a Amazon.
There's a 13...
Rebecca, it's yes? square...
Square mile, square, square feet is so small, Chris.
Rebecca,
but look. Think about it this way.
Look.
It's like look. It's like 2,000 miles to get across the United States. There's no way it's that big.
Miles. Wait. Okay, well, whatever. Look, just so you know, there's a rainforest. There's a savanna grassland. Wait, square feet, Chris?
Yes, square feet.
That's like a big living room per thing you're talking about. Is that right? Am I right on
that?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. No, it's much larger than that.
But like 50,000 square feet is like, that's like a mansion. So
I heard 1,000 square feet for something, so I'm wrong.
1,900 square miles.
Square meters. Of rainforest.
Oh, you...
Which
I'm
is 20.
Fact check the fact.
1, 000... I'm literally looking at the Wikipedia page right now.
Okay.
Everyone's scrolling like 40 minutes from now, and we're still going on about how big is this.
Look, there's also a fog desert. There's a tropical agricultural system with farm and human habitat with living quarters, offices, and recreational spaces.
Jesus.
Heating and cooling water circulated through the biosphere in independent piping systems, and electrical power was supplied to the biosphere from a natural gas energy center located outside the biosphere through airtight penetrations. So
it's complicated. It's a pretty legit setup.
Yeah.
And honestly, the whole thing about this biosphere is it's as if people like us, maybe a little smarter, maybe some of, you know, a little smarter than us, created a biosphere.
I mean, Ethan, you seem like a smart guy, but I think I can safely say that none of us would be able to do this.
That's what I'm saying. If the four of us are in charge, maybe Ethan can take the lead.
Yeah. I could make this Biosphere no problem. And I would have had a way better name than Biosphere 2, considering there's no Biosphere 1 or that
there
stupid
is.
Excuse.
It's the planet.
That's a terrible. No, dude. No. Sorry. Unless you're making Earth 2, which is the size of the planet,
right.
You don't get to call your thing something 2.
You don't get to sneak in a name change for Earth quickly before you make a sequel of it.
Yeah, just call it, name it after yourself or whatever. Call it the Kevin Biosphere or some shit, and that's fine. Also, what the hell is a fog desert? Can we just kind of skimmed over that? What does that mean?
The fact checker Chris is going to get on that, because I also do not know what that is. And while he's doing that, I think we should start by putting white hippie idealism and / delusion, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Up on the board.
Okay.
Up on the cork board.
Yeah. It's, you know, we could also call it an alarmist fan favorite name, Dirty Hippies and Their Hula Hoops. We could call it that. But I feel like this white hippie idealism is important to discuss. This is according to LA Times in 1994. The Biosphere 2 project operated formally by a company called Space Biosphere Ventures, run by Bass, Augustine, and Allen. This is John Allen, who was the leader of the group. It was a volatile blend of New Age idealism and corporate sophistication. There was Bass, the second son of the Fort Worth Bass family, which has amassed holdings worth several billion dollars. There was Allen, the restless son of an Oklahoma farmer who harbored a store of visionary ideas on how to save the environment, or at least through space age arcs such as biosphere, survive its destruction. The Daily Beast said the synergists, John Allen's group, the synergists. Okay, this is we have to understand they were a theater company, essentially. Okay,
that's insane.
They had a theater group. They were like, they sat around in San Francisco when it seemed like everyone else was sitting around in San Francisco being like, what should we do? We're a group. And they decided that they were not just going to do theater, but they were going to focus on the environment and making the world a better place.
They wanted to do something groundbreaking.
Oh, no.
Well, I just can't stand when people in the name of environmentalism do something that's worse for the environment. You know, like, this does not seem to me that it's going to help the environment at all to make your own biodome, you know? Like, right. If you just contributed all the money that you're going to put into that into, like, rainforest preservation, that's probably going to do a lot more good.
Well, or if you gave it to actual scientists, right?
That might help too, sure.
But it's like, let's take science into our own hands, right? And the whole goal was to study the ecosystem. And what's crazy to me is that it wasn't to like study the ecosystem and like, you know, change the world's trajectory. It was pretty much like the world's done, like climate change is we're gonna die, so let's figure out how to do this in Mars or somewhere else,
yeah, without any affiliation to NASA or a government or any sort of sanctioned science.
No,
noble
keyword.
Intentions noble intentions, but like if you do come across funding like that, like, why not be like, okay, cool, so we have this great idea, let's like pull in a few experts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
that should be, yeah, the first move and second move.
No, first, yeah. Let's hold auditions.
Yes. Right. For the expert role.
Let's get a piano player. What the hell are you doing?
Now, in fairness and in their defense, and I watched Spaceship Earth. I really liked that
documentary.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, but only been on that ride that's in Epcot.
Different, but go on.
But they did employ the help of scientists, researchers,
yes,
et cetera. Some, okay, at the beginning of it, but then as things sort of went downhill, which I guess we'll get to more so, they started calling in.
It was much later. And the big thing, now these were not like dumb people. These were, you know, John Allen was a Harvard grad. These were educated, smart, one might say smart, not non-scientists.
And
you
accomplished.
Know what I mean? And accomplished. They, you know, the big thing was that they decided they were, this is even before the biosphere, they decided they were going to build a boat and sail around the world. And the one girl, she was like 19. She was like, I think I can do it. And she became the architect of building this boat. And it did not sink when they did build the boat, and it didn't sink, and they did sail around the world. So they like figured it out. And then she eventually ended up being the architect. She's like, well, I built that boat. Let me be the architect of Biosphere too. And that she was the architect. So it was like a culture of like, learning by doing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but also giving up on the planet, right? I mean, isn't the whole thing founded on the premise that we're already done for and this is what we need to survive the apocalypse? That's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, mm-hmm, a part of it, yeah. I mean, so this is according to the Daily Beast. The Synergists, which is what they called themselves, the group, John Allen's group, funded all of these efforts by accruing capital through business ventures with the help of Ed Bass, the billionaire heir to, yes, an oil fortune. So there's a central contradiction at the center of what the Synergists were up to. They wanted to revere the revere of a sustainable culture, but without the work of revolution. In fact, from what the documentary Spaceship Earth shows, all the Synergists were all white and seemed to come from fairly well-off backgrounds.
Not surprising.
I wonder how much of this is like, you know, this group that started in the late 60s, which this very revolutionary decade, and like how much of that, the energy of that decade was like in their roots. And then this project doesn't come along for another like 20, 30 years. So like how much of it like just didn't translate by the time they actually got this big, ambitious kind of potentially revolutionary project on the ground. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I think we should also like discuss John Allen because he is the mastermind behind this group. He's the leader of the group. In the 60s, I guess by 69, he was either 40 or in his 40s. So he was an older guy and they all kind of looked up to him. And when you watch this documentary, you do get the sense that there is like a little bit of a cult vibe.
Sounds like it.
Going on. And from what it seems, it didn't come off as like a super dangerous cult. You know, I feel it wasn't like, I don't think that they were, you know, taking advantage of the women in the group. I don't think that they were, you know, they had some plan to, you know, do a mass suicide or any kind of thing like that. But there were like these, it looked like it attracted people who wanted, smart people who wanted an alternative lifestyle and were just amazed by this leader, this very charismatic leader.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think you can put up John Allen, right?
Yes.
I mean, because what we're talking about here is the Biosphere 2 and, you know, what went wrong and why it didn't succeed fully in its sort of like attempt, right? But I mean, the group to me, there was no, to me, when I watched the, and maybe I'm sort of brainwashed by this documentary, but everyone was just down. Like no, there was like no complaints up the ladder.
No, that's why it's not fair to call it a cult.
Yeah. Like it was
a group.
It was good vibe. It was actually good vibes cult. You know?
Yeah. If there's a Biosphere 3, I'm kind of down.
Wait.
Sick.
You just turned so quickly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of into futuristic shit, and I don't know. I'm with it.
Yeah.
So this is just a little breakdown of John Allen. This is according to Newsweek. Biosphere's mastermind, John Allen, a poet, a playwright, and metallurgist with a Harvard MBA, has spearheaded a number of dubious international ecological projects, including a Santa Fe commune, a concrete-hulled ocean reserve vessel, and an environmentally friendly hotel in Kathmandu. Some critics accuse him of running a cult, a charge Allen denies. Mm. The Daily Beast said, "It's clear that Allen's strength as a leader is what motivates his group to achieve such incredible feats, especially the construction of a working yacht that sailed around the globe. But it's also apparent that there's not much room for anyone in that vision beyond those he chooses."
Yeah, sounds super culty. I mean, especially the boat part is like Scientology ish.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
so that there can be, I don't know, it sounds like they can be in international waters in case, you know, the heat comes.
Ooh, that's very alarmist. That's a very alarmist way of thinking.
Thank you,
Ethan.
We like that.
Thank you so much. I'm fitting right in here.
Yes, you are. And So I agree. Let's put John Allen up on the board.
Definitely.
But then I'm like, this is a quote we found from Steve Bannon, which is...
Love him, by the way.
Surprise, surprise. He's involved.
Yeah. Just
what a twist.
This dubious thing.
Yeah.
If you're trying to prove that your group is chill and has good intentions, just throw him in the mix.
Well,
right?
Well, he came in after, and he's actually very anti-Allen. He says, "John Allen is to blame for this. I kicked his ass." That's Steve Bannon's quote.
Well, yeah. And the Bannon comes in only later when John Allen and the main money guy, Bass, have a conflict. And Bass brings in Steve Bannon to kind of see if they can monetize this biosphere, because I guess the science of it wasn't really going that well. And so...
surprise.
So how do we put a Panera Bread in here?
Yes, exactly.
This isn't working out.
McDonald's. We need 3 McDonald's and like 10 Starbucks.
Yeah, quick. We're bleeding money. I just don't get, like, for me, it seems like a fool's errand, the whole thing. It seems like really self-serving, like they just wanted something on their resume or like legacy. Like, because even if it works, right? Like, okay, so you created, with billions of dollars that you could have done a lot of good with, you instead created like a big home for you and other elitist rich people that can survive if the world isn't around anymore. So what? Like, we kind of know that that's possible. You didn't really, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
It sounds like they're inventing a small town where just people, the farmers farm for the village and the baker bakes for the, it's like, so you we just went backwards a little bit.
You invented a small town with walls and a roof.
We have those already.
Yeah. You invented a gymnasium.
This is, I mean, I'm glad you are discussing this because I feel like we should put pseudoscience up on the board. Oh. And it's it goes with what you're saying, Ethan, which is like the theatrics of this scientific feat. In the documentary Spaceship Earth, one commentator called the project, quote, trendy ecological entertainment. Another commentator distinguished the difference between conducting a science experiment and simply embarking on an adventure. So, yeah, two very different things.
And I got to tell you, you know, a lot of scientists get very aggravated because it's really hard to get grant money for the stuff that they want to do. And it's like, what they're doing is vital. A lot of the, you know, stem cell research and somehow they can't get the funding for it. And so the fact that these people can just, because they have friends that are rich or whatever, do this huge experiment that takes years and has no real purpose, if you're asking me, is really aggravating. It shouldn't be allowed.
I mean, I agree. And bear with me. Here we go. Newsweek 91 says, critics say the project is more showmanship than science. To date, the largest enclosed ecosystems have been the size of baseballs containing only algae and shrimp. I don't think it's extremely well designed, says Frank B. Salisbury, a University of Utah plant physiologist who works on NASA's enclosed systems research. Of the eight biospherians who will inhabit the terrarium, University of California, Los Angeles, gerontologist Dr. Roy Walford is the only scientist of any repute. The rest of the team are mostly young neophytes, some of whom have worked on other Allen projects. With no controls on the experiments, any result they yield cannot be scientifically validated. I mean, that's a big part. Okay.
That's tough to hear.
According to LA Times 1994, Biosphere's Independent Science Advisory Committee, a group of eminent scientists, had been recruited in 1992 to bolster the project's scientific credibility. By January 1993, the science advisors had decided that Allen, Augustine, and other local managers were a fundamental part of the problem, not part of the solution. They are making mistakes and they don't even know they are making them. One committee member said. Allen criticized the science committee as a hit team, quote, hit team from the establishment. Okay, almost done here. The New York Times says, as a piece of scientific research, Biosphere 2 had its problems. Countless things were happening all at once inside its walls, making it hard to pinpoint causes and effect. And without any other biosphere to compare it to, there was no way to distinguish random flukes from significant patterns. Mm. The University of Arizona scientist Bob Fry summons it up well in a newspaper interview, saying, it's an experiment, but only in the sense that life is an experiment.
Ouch.
Years later, Biosphere participants would say that their mission was misrepresented as a scientific experiment, saying that instead, it was intended to be a performance piece showcasing how delicate our environment is.
Okay.
Good cover.
So there's a couple things that conjured for me there. I don't know for you guys in terms of what to blame. Mm-hmm. One is science as hobby. Like scientists could do scientists should do science, right?
Sure. Correct.
Should the four of us get together and try and do science?
No.
Maybe not.
We should not be doing any science.
Well, as hobby, I mean, you at least need to know, like, there should be an instructional video or something we should watch before we do science.
Maybe go to college for science.
Yeah,
if we are doing science. If we are doing science, though, I think it's fair to say, like, we could say, like, we know that this isn't real science, so do consider this a performance piece. It's us performing the act of doing science.
That's the other thing I was going to say was the labels. Maybe we can blame labels here, because you got to put a big fat label on the front of your biodome that says, this is just a show.
Yeah, let's put that and experimental theater up on the board. Because that's what this is.
Or like, well-funded experimental theater. Because for me, I'm out for blood here on this podcast. And
hell yeah.
I just want to blame like really rich people that don't know what to do with their money. Mm. That everything that you're saying to me all relates to that. Because it's like anybody, you know, like you were saying, Chris, if we wanted to do science or if we wanted to do experimental theater or whatever, there, we would just do it with the little things that we have. We'd grab a lighter, we'd grab a bong and use it as a beaker. There wouldn't be a lot to mess with. You know what I'm saying? So it's like no one should give us $5.5 billion to make a biosphere. Like, that should never happen. It doesn't make sense. Or, and I also want to give props to the writer who used the word neophyte as like a diss. I love that.
Yes, that was tough.
You know, like, what this reminds me of? Do you remember in like a while in New York, someone was doing in Times Square, they were like putting themselves in a box. Was it IKEA that was doing like a promotional thing?
Yes. Where you live there like for a whole week or something?
Yeah. It's like give someone $1,000 and like have them do that instead of this.
That makes way more sense. I didn't know about that though. I got to look that up. That's cool.
It's just called Tiny Living now.
I think it was called something like that.
But it also conjures for me Elon Musk and SpaceX as well as Bezos like just going off into space, right? Now, that's fine. Like he can afford it and it's like a hobby and it's like, okay, we're proving out space tourism, I guess. But that money can be better spent.
That's the question. Should they be able to afford that? Should you be able to just afford those kind of crazy things?
Let's put corporate greed up on the board because
capitalism.
Big time. Biosphere 2 team would claim that Ed Bass, the Texas oil billionaire who financed the project, corrupted the project by focusing on profit. This is, again, according to Newsweek in 1991, Biosphere 2 looks more like a theme park than an R&D site. The gift shop, in a converted test module, is crammed full of T-shirts, bumper stickers, keychains, playing cards, and books touting the virtues of biospherics. Visitors...
Yep. Scientology.
Yes, oh, my
the
God.
The origins.
Visitors, some 650,000 to date, pay $9.95 for tours and will soon be able to peer into the terrarium itself, watching the biospherians at work. Plans call for building ecologically sensitive RV parks and an environmentally correct golf course on the site, much to the dismay of locals, says neighbor Tom Norbit. I'm not sure I want Disneyland in my backyard, even if it does stress ecology. LA Times says in 1994, in a written response to a reporter's query several years ago about the theme park aspects of Biosphere, Ed Bass said, as the accusatory claims that this is Disneyland, it certainly is. It would be a waste to be doing this without giving a means for people to access it. Besides, tourism is a significant source of revenue. Billionaires only want money.
They love it.
And they have it. That's the thing.
They have it and they want more. That's what's crazy to me. That you have billions of dollars.
I'm actually okay with that as long as we have a bunch of other stuff taken care of already. Like if there was no homelessness or hunger or, you know, like healthcare costs to people, then it's like, okay, now that that's all taken care of, go fly your spaceship to wherever the hell. You know, but
that's
like,
a good point. It's like they need a list of, you know, like an order of what's
requirements
most,
to be a billionaire. This is what needs to be in place in the world
before you go to the moon, before you
go
to space. Check off, you know, world hunger, homelessness.
Yeah. Great. I love this list.
They can do it. It really wouldn't be that tough for them to just like take a real, you know, a percentage of their. Listen, I don't know about you guys, but what I'm paying in taxes, if I had that percentage-wise billions of dollars, I mean, let's just tax the hell out of these guys. They won't really notice and then give all that money to healthcare.
They got billions.
Yeah. I mean, pay for everybody's college.
You know what
and
we
then
should
go
tell
build
them?
Your biosphere.
It's like, these aren't taxes. Don't worry. It's going toward a biosphere. And then they'll be like, oh, yes, here's $1 billion.
Good idea. Yeah.
And then just like secretly just use it to, you know,
we're
going
to put your
good.
Name all over the fog desert. Don't worry. They're like, oh, cool.
They're like, oh,
You know who could pull a scheme like that?
Who?
A very creative experimental theater troupe, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe
let's give
we
them
should
money.
Start it.
Okay. We have to talk about oxygen. We must. Oxygen issues must go up on the board. Not only did oxygen levels drop, affecting the health of the participants, but it led to the biosphere installing CO2 scrubbers and pumping in extra oxygen, which contradicted the initial claim that the biosphere 2 would remain sealed for 2 years. Okay, so this is according to the New York Times. In 1993, oxygen levels within the miniature world of Biosphere 2 in Arizona have dropped more than 28% since 4 men and 4 women were sealed inside. Project leaders, expecting the decline to continue, have made arrangements to pump tons of pure oxygen into the 3.15 acres of glass domes if the 8 inhabitants of the 150 million experiment begin to languish. The mystery has attracted increasing scientific interest, and one theory is that the oxygen is being removed by a reaction in the soil. The oxygen content of the biosphere air is now equal to that found in an altitude of about 12,000 feet, twice the height of Mount Washington in New Hampshire, the highest peak in New England. By volume, yes, the amount of oxygen has dropped to about 15% from the 21% at sea level. So this is how they described it. It said, it felt like mountain climbing, Nelson recalls. Some of the crew started getting sleep apnea. I noticed I couldn't finish a long sentence without stopping and taking a breath of air. We worked in a kind of slow motion pace with no energy wasted. Oh, God. If the oxygen levels had dropped any lower, there could have been some serious health issues. Once oxygen was added, so they literally brought in a truck to pump oxygen in, people started laughing like crazy and running around, recalls participant Mark Nelson. I felt like I'd been 90 years old and now I was a teenager again. I realized I hadn't seen anybody running for months.
Wow.
Schmucks. Absolute schmucks, hundo percento.
Right?
That's wow.
So, yeah, that's tough. It was hard to watch that in the documentary, the part where they were really, like, tired all the time.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about the food issue. I mean, how they were literally starving to death because they underestimated how much time a day it would take to harvest and grow food. So the work time spent for agriculture and food preparation was higher than expected, about 45%. The biospherians worked an average of 66-hour weeks, spending less time than expected. I think they spent something like under 10% on research and data analysis. So only 10% of their time.
The rest was like pure survival.
Yes,
like, can we breathe? Can we eat? Can we sleep without dying?
The whole point is that they're there to research, and they had no way of time to research.
I would have loved if this was a reality show, by the way.
Right?
Then I would have definitely been in.
I think it is now. It's just called Survivor.
Okay. It's just an island instead of a biosphere.
Exactly.
That makes sense. So
they were just really hungry and exhausted and trying to survive. They lost an average of 20% of their body weight in the 2 years that they were inside this dome. And at some point, they just started, they couldn't harvest enough food. It's just the poor planning.
Let me ask you this. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this documentary. I plan to because it sounds hilarious to me. But... are they coming out of this with regret after this whole thing? Are these people like defending their actions, or were they turned, you know? Did
you know
they feel like, oh, this?
The documentary does a good job of showing you their whole sort of scope of what they were about. Like, they take you through the beginnings of this group and what their MO was, and the biosphere was a part of that. So there's these scenes that of these people, and they're much older now, and they're sort of getting along somewhere in the Southwest, American Southwest, just sort of enjoying their retirement.
I believe they all live in the ranch still.
I don't think they feel like bad about doing the biosphere.
Okay. They're still drinking the Kool-Aid.
I think that they regret how they were portrayed in the media, and because I think it was much more of an experiment for them, and like
they knew it wasn't a success.
The thing that happens with experiments is that sometimes like they poor planning is a really good thing to put up on the
poor
board.
Planning. They started eating seeds that were meant to be planted so that plants could grow. They were just like, you know what? We don't have the time. We need to survive. Eat the seeds.
I just like birds. They're birds.
I guess what's frustrating to me is that, like, no one's forcing you to survive in these conditions. You're not, like, lost in the jungle. Like, you made right. all this crap.
Right.
So you just have a behind. Sandwich. Yeah. Just order some food. And then, like, you know what I'm saying? And then rework your sphere. I mean,
they're lucky that this happened before Postmates and DoorDash. Because
it would have been too easy. I mean, they called a truck for oxygen. I'm just saying, how hard is it to be like, let's get a pizza out here and right. then maybe restructure our food zone?
It's true.
Well, that's hubris too. Maybe we got to throw, we always throw man's hubris up on the board to blame. And I think their hubris has a lot to do with getting into a pickle like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to throw up, and I know that we have to start knocking.
I
want to
throw up
list.
Too. Sorry.
Nice.
Sorry.
Nice.
We got to put, I wanted to put anxiety caused by a Challenger disaster.
Wow.
This is New York Times. In 1993, Mr. Bannon was a long way from becoming a nationalist celebrity or president advisor. At the time, he was a Beverly Hills-based investment banker specializing in takeovers. Side note, what he'd do is he'd come into a company and be like, okay, is this company worth saving or is this company worth, you know, let's just take it down and cut its losses.
Seems like an easy job, by the way. I can do that.
It's just a personal decision. You're like, I'll keep it.
Yeah. Jersey Mike's.
Keep
we don't
it.
Need it.
I was going to say keep it.
You keep it. Okay.
I'll keep
I enjoy
it.
Jersey Mike's.
Sorry, you're fired.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a tough job.
Yeah. Mr. Bass tapped Mr. Bannon to overhaul Space Biosphere Ventures, which was hemorrhaging money. According to Mr. Bannon, Biosphere 2 would run a deficit of $16 million to $20 million in 1993 alone. By the time the first Biosphere 2 crew emerged, Mr. Bannon had decided Mr. Allen and the rest of the leadership would have to go. They were fired in April 1994, shortly after the second mission had begun. The purge is what spurred Mr. Alling and Mr. Van Tillo to break into Biosphere 2. Okay, these were the people who Miss Alling and Mr. Van Tillo. These are the people who broke into the Biosphere 2. After they were arrested, Miss Alling tearfully told the press that they had been worried for the safety of the new crew. If Biosphere's 2 atmosphere wasn't properly tended, she implied they might die. Miss Alling cited the explosion of the space shuttle Challenger caused by negligent management. Quote, I take this extremely serious, she said.
So, trying to get the facts straight here. So they came, they broke in to make sure people were okay and got arrested for that?
They did. So Bannon okay. fires the leadership, the John Allen Theater Group, we'll call them. Mm-hmm. And they, he's like, you know, they're not... managing this properly, and all of a sudden the people outside, they had their friends inside the bio, some of them had their friends still inside the biosphere, so they freaked out about the new management, and I believe what they broke was a piece of glass that was not a large, like a smallish window in order to get oxygen inside, and they did get arrested and were subsequently tried or charged. There was a charge that stemmed.
Sure, they got away with it.
But they were saying that they didn't trust the management and sure, they blamed sure. it on the previous Challenger explosion.
What about someone who's not on the board right now who funded all this is this wealthy Texan Ed Bass. Like, does yeah. he bear Get any, should she be on the board for yeah. funding this whole thing?
100%. Definitely. Yeah.
And why don't we just throw Bannon up there too? I mean,
absolutely.
It could be a when else? About when else are yeah. we going to do it? Okay, so is there anything else we want to throw up before we start crossing things off?
I think we're good.
I think we're good. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and knock things off our list. Here we go.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, who's to blame for Biosphere 2? Is it white hippie idealism / delusion, John Allen, pseudoscience, poor labels, well-funded experimental theater, corporate greed / capitalism, lack of oxygen, poor planning across the board, hubris, anxiety caused by the Challenger disaster, Ed Bass, or Steve Bannon? Can you see this board, Ethan?
We can only pick one of these, or what's up?
Yeah, now we're going to do process of elimination.
I got to go with these dudes. I mean, I'm magnetized to Ed, Steve, and John.
You're magnetized.
It just seems like, how can we not blame them, these schmucks?
No, I mean, look, Ethan, I get it. This is, our brains always just want to pick the thing that we want to blame. But we have to, process of elimination is tried and true.
Okay.
We have to start at the bottom. He's apologizing.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
I fucked up. Let's start over.
No. We gotta continue onward.
Okay. I would say then the first thing we should get rid of is well-funded experimental theater, because that label in and of itself sounds kind of cool to me. If you guys told me I have an experimental theater group and we're actually pretty well funded, I'd be like, I got to see that show. That sounds cool. What are we talking about? Laser lights? I'm in. VR?
No,
Earth science.
We're talking about 3.1 acres in the middle of a desert with a huge, it's a huge biodome.
And you're like, is there seats? Can I watch it? Or how do I experience this theater?
Right.
Do you sell popcorn also? We do bad science.
Okay. Cool show.
We die slowly and you don't watch.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can take that off the list. I also think we can take poor labels off the list.
Sure. That's like so deep into this whole mess that you can't blame
the labels were the issue, because I think that also folds into the pseudoscience of it all.
I was going to say pseudoscience probably the next one for me, because that sounds like a fun hobby for people. If people are into ghosts, that's fine. Mm. Let them be into ghosts their whole life. You know, maybe they'll find some evidence at some point and we can talk to a ghost.
So then should it be changed to like pretending to be a scientist or thinking anyone can be a scientist?
That to me is hubris, right? It's like going back into this idea that you think you can do what people who spend their lives studying certain expertise do.
This hubris really has more of a negative connotation to me than pseudoscience.
Okay, so how can we infuse science into the hubris aspect?
Sort of like combine those two ideas.
I don't know.
Like we're gonna, science hat, we'll call it the science hat. You think you can just put on a science hat?
Yes. You can't just put on a scientist hat. It's like these anti-vaxxers. They think they can put on their science hat.
Yeah. And, skipping education.
That's good. That's better. You know?
That's good.
Hubris / skipping education. Skipping That's what we'll call it.
That pesky degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. That pesky 7 years of really hard work.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that.
No. I'm not doing 7 years. I mean, you're talking about lifetimes. Some of these people have spent their lifetimes.
Dude, are you kidding me? In 7 years, I can make like 4 fog deserts.
By the way, in case you wanted to know what a fog desert was, it's a type of desert where fog drip supplies the majority of moisture.
Mm. Wow.
What is that? And it's usually up in cliffs, high altitudes.
Sounds cool.
The air's moisture kind of collects. Mm.
It's so awful that the first thing that like rings a bell in my head is Zelda. I'm like, oh yeah, that's real because of Zelda.
Oh yeah, fog desert.
I've been there. I've been there. That exists.
So I think we can take lack of oxygen. Because I think that was a result of the poor planning. You know,
I agree.
Lack of education. Yeah.
I feel the same about the white hippie or dirty hippie and hula hoop of it all. You know, I feel like that's also just, you know, I can't blame them for who they
are.
That
can be folded into like hubris and skipping education too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They were idealistic. They had, you know, they had some good thoughts.
Yeah, there's good parts to that, you know, Cat Stevens and weed. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no matter what kind of person you are, no one's immune to hubris. You could be like tight A, whatever, or the hippiest dippiest, but everyone's got an ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except me, who's perfect?
Except for Ethan.
Except for the four of us on the podcast.
Yeah, except for the four of us.
Actually, anyone who has a podcast.
I have a huge ego, so don't put me in that group.
Okay.
I feel like we can fold... like corporate greed or capitalism into Ed Bass or vice versa?
Mm. I would agree. I think that Ed Bass, John Allen combo, they're sort of like when those two powers combined, their Captain Planet, so to speak, is
Captain Capitalism.
Captain Capitalism, exactly, is this dodo bird who thinks they can just skip education and go straight to cash cow science experiment.
Yep. So then I think we can take anxiety caused by this challenger and also Steve Bannon off the list, as much as that hurts.
Sure. Mm. He was too, this was young Bannon. He was learning his dirty ways.
He came in late as like this.
Yeah. And plus there'll be plenty to blame him for in the long run.
Yes. Right.
Without Biosphere 2.
Are we folding Alan and Ed Bass into corporate greed or
I think we can take corporate greed and that folds into who they are, right? Okay.
Bannon will probably go down as the person to blame for the end of Biosphere 1.
Good call.
When the Earth eventually
he's
crumbles,
on that list.
He'll be on that list.
He's on that list.
I hope he can still have
insulting.
A podcast.
I feel like it's insulting to the Earth to call it Biosphere 1.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Earth's no, I'll name myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Kind of known as Earth already, thanks.
Yeah. I like my name.
So we have John Allen up on the board, poor planning across the board, hubris / skipping education, and Ed Bass.
I think the poor planning can also go because that feels like part of hubris and skipping education.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good call.
So we have to pick one person or thing to slap and one person or thing to send to the alarmist jail. And here is what I'm thinking.
Kick it.
I think we send skipping education to the alarmist jail.
Wow. Strong.
I just feel like that has to, we have to send a message too with this.
Yeah. I like that.
What are we doing here? And then I think we give John Allen the big slap, and we don't usually do this, but I think this is a good opportunity for us to give the backhand to Ed Bass.
To Bass. Okay.
I like that because it seems big of us. It seems like we are taking the high road by not just blaming a person and saying this is your fault, which mm-hmm. is a little more maybe elementary schoolyard, mm-hmm. and saying like, no, the concept of pretending you're an expert and skipping education and claiming you understand science, etc., that's actually to blame. And everyone who falls under that is a jerk face.
Well put. Really?
Right?
Well put.
Incredible closing arguments.
I have no notes on that.
You ain't getting no notes.
So I'm going to call it. John Allen, you're getting the big slap. Ed Bass, you get the backhand. Hubris and skipping education, you're going to the alarmist jail. What?
Ethan was trying to provide sound effects. I do love this part.
Oh,
of what? I was trying.
When you do that. Because he was taking a stab at doing the sound effects.
Oh, yeah?
We have sound effects we put in later for this.
Ah, shit.
Maybe we'll just cut yours in, though, because those are pretty legit.
Yeah, those are good.
And that ah, shit was pretty good. If somebody gets thrown in the alarmist jail, that's a person.
Ah, shit.
He could be like, ah, shit.
Ah, shit.
Well, Ethan, thank you so much for, you know, helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for Biosphere 2.
No, thank you for having me and for, you know, educating me on Biosphere 2. I had no idea about any of this, so it's really interesting. And now I have to watch this documentary, and yeah, it was super fun. Great talking to y'all.
Yep, I highly recommend the documentary, and honestly, it was a pleasure talking back to you. Not, you know?
Absolutely.
The back and forth. The back and yeah. forth.
It was like a conversation, one could say.
Yeah. A dialogue.
That's the word.
Yeah.
After the shutdown of Biosphere 2, Columbia University ran Biosphere 2 from 1995 to 2003, using it as a research site and satellite campus. The University of Arizona later took over operations, and in 2011, Ed Bass officially donated Biosphere 2 to the university, along with $20 million for research support. An additional $30 million was donated in 2017. Though many scientists considered the original experiment a failure, Biosphere 2 certainly captured the world's imagination and sparked hope for what could be at the time. Since then, the dream of biospheres on Mars has vanished, and Biosphere 1, aka Earth, has been profoundly and perhaps irreversibly altered by climate change. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Spaghetti House Siege of 1975.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.